Our second scripture reading this morning picks up where Mary left off, and I too will apologize that people in my house are getting over sickness, and so if I have to cough or take a moment, I apologize, but we're on our way to health, all of us. So let us listen to God's word from Luke chapter 1. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for God has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. God's mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her for about 3 months and then returned to her home. Let us join our hearts in prayer. God, we give you thanks for the gift of Scripture. We ask that it would be open to us, that it would be for us a word of comfort or challenge, a word of inspiration, whatever it is we need on this day. Lord, you surely know. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was in my last trimester and she was in her first when God brought us together. And it's a wonder I didn't go into labor the moment she showed up. Something came over me when I opened the door, a loud cry from mom, a swift leap from baby, and John could have been born right there in the doorway. I knew things suddenly that I possibly could not know. And all I could do was shout with joy, "Oh, Mary, what a blessing!" You see, at this point in my life, I have come to expect anything. Cousin Mary showing up unannounced, unmarried, and pregnant but not yet showing, this was ordinary in comparison to the previous 6 months. Let me explain. First, though, I'll answer the question you're all wondering. Yes, I am old. Some estimate that I am around 88 years old, but honestly, I cannot say, for I stopped counting years ago, probably around the same time I gave up hope of ever becoming a mother. At a certain point, you just accept things the way they are, and you stop trying to change them, and you get on with the life you've been given. I thought I was what some would call a barren woman, but my life felt anything but bare. We had our routine and our roles. Zachariah was a priest and I was a priest's wife. We had a community that we belonged to and we made meaningful contributions to society. And we built a life based on our values, offering hospitality to all, loving God and neighbor, observing our religious rituals, performing our duties. We found joy, laughter, and love in everyday things. It was an ordinary and wonderful life. I guess the first out of ordinary thing that happened was Zechariah being chosen by lot to go into the Holy of Holies. A priest could go his whole life without ever being chosen to enter that most sacred part of the temple. And so we gave God thanks for this honor. We had no idea what God was about to do. Did you know that when a priest goes into the Holy of Holies, that place where God dwells, they tie a rope around his leg? That way, if he dies in there, they can pull him out without ever having to enter or defile that sacred ground. But you know, they don't have a plan for what to do if coming so close to God leaves you speechless and mute. There's no plan for how to undo that one. And that's exactly what happened to Zechariah. He did all of the rituals to prepare himself. I'm certain of it. And then he entered to burn the incense, and when he returned, he was speechless. I could only assume that something spiritual had happened in there, at least something very strange, not of this world. Zechariah was not a quiet man. But how could I know what had happened if Zechariah couldn't speak of it? It seemed as if he wanted to. After that day in the temple, he seemed both elated and ashamed. He knew something that I didn't, and whatever it was, it brought him great joy. But his inability to communicate, to share his knowledge, it seemed to leave him feeling ashamed. At times he would look at me with great wonder and delight. And at other times, he hung his head, averting his eyes from mine. And I was left guessing about his strange behavior, and guessing about my own strange behavior, too. I suddenly felt quite tired, exhausted, really, like never before. Illness plagued me, food did not interest me, and when I could manage to eat, I would eat and then fall asleep as quickly as possible, in hopes of falling asleep before having to throw up. By the time I understood what was going on with my body, that I was bearing life and not, in fact, on death's door, I must have been coming into my fourth month. Now, suddenly, I was speechless too. I could not find the words to tell him. Ever since Zechariah had come home mute, we had become two silent strangers, both confused, both alone, both insecure, but both hopeful too. Hopeful that something magnificent was at work, that God had not forsaken us, but indeed that God was doing something wonderful. I was just too afraid to give that hope words, and my fear paralyzed me. Would this good news actually come to pass? Would I live to tell this story? Maybe it would be easier to be mute than to share the good news of God's faithfulness. Who would believe me anyway? My quiet life wouldn't be so quiet anymore. The whole town would make a fuss. I can only imagine what they would say. Did you hear about Elizabeth? She's not barren at all. I guess all she needed to get pregnant was for Zechariah to shut up. Or, oh, poor Elizabeth. She'll be 100 by the time he's 12. And that poor child bound to be an orphan with parents that age. I didn't want their joy or their scorn. And so I turned to God. And in my better moments, I put my trust in God. I breathed easy and knew all that would be well. All would be well. But in my more fearful moments, I yelled at God. God, how could this be? Now, all these years, nothing, and now. I was certain this hope deferred, now realized it would be the end of me. And so it took several days to get up the courage to tell Zechariah. Would he believe me? I did not know what to expect from his reaction. But I did believe that surely this would bring his voice back. I waited until sundown, and there was a peace about the house. And I prayed, God, grant me wisdom. God, give me words. God, turn our fear into joy. God, thank you. And then I approached Zechariah. Zechariah, I'm pregnant. Silence. There were no words to accompany the look on his face. It wasn't fear, and it wasn't disbelief, but it wasn't joy either. The best way I can describe it is that the look on his face was just relief. I think he was simply relieved. Did he already know what it had taken me 3 months to figure out? Was he just relieved that I now knew too? Whatever the look was, the strangeness between us melted away and we were once again connected. Joy filled the emptiness that the silence had created, and for a few days, we were nothing but smiles, dancing around each other with hope, dreaming up a future far greater than the one we had imagined. But in time, my frustration set in. How could Zechariah keep silent with news like this in a time like this? And if he was going to remain silent, how could I manage? I needed his support now more than ever. Would I be left to parent this child alone? Would he ever take responsibility? Would he ever find courage? Another 3 months passed like this. The whole town talking about our pregnancy, but not a single conversation about it in our home. And that's why I was so relieved when Mary showed up. Finally, a friend, a companion, someone trusted to talk to, who could talk back. Opening that door to find Mary, it was a spiritual experience. The child within me leapt, nearly burst right out with joy. Joy filled my whole body from head to toe, and the words, they just came right out of that soul-felt joy. Blessings on you, Mary, and blessings on the child you now carry. Oh my, the mother of my Lord visits me? How can it be so? And Mary, you, Mary, you believed. You believed God, and you believed God's promises, and now they have been fulfilled. The song that she followed with, that song, it collapsed time. Past, present, and future met as Mary sang. She praised God. She magnified God's name. She rejoiced, for God was with her. God chose her, and God was doing great things for her, just as God had always done. And God would always do great things. God's mercy is real. God uses strength for the sake of the powerless. God scatters the proud and brings down the powerful. God lifts up the lowly. God was surely lifting us up, even as she sang, and not just us, but the whole world over. And her words were so true. God doesn't add to the wealth of the rich. Rather, God fills up the hungry and the poor and sends away the rich with no more. God provides abundance where there is an abundant need. God fulfills God's promises. God is faithful to God's servant Israel. God promised Abraham, and now God keeps God's promises. Even in our little lives, God is faithful. And I guess that's what I came to tell you today. I guess that's why I came, because of Mary's song. She said it all so perfectly. God is faithful. It's a good story to tell, and I'm sure generation after generation will be talking about the 88-year-old who got pregnant, and about her husband, too, who finally did speak when it came time to name the child. He spoke. His name is John. And I pray they'll be telling the story of John, our son, too, the one who came to prepare the way for the Lord. And how he started preparing the way even before he was born, leaping for joy in the presence of Mary, our Savior's mother, and the Savior within. But the story is only good because it reveals the only true thing that ever really mattered. God is faithful. When you remember our story on Christmas Eve's Eve, remember that it is God's story. And your only job is to witness to that story, the story of God's faithfulness. When you are made mute, like Zechariah, witness to God's faithfulness with a steadfast presence and an embodied spirit of prayer. And when you are not yet born like John in the womb, witness to God's faithfulness with the miracle of simply becoming. How amazing is it that God's love, it precedes any merit we might prove in life. And when, like Mary, everything in your life seems to say that you are God forsaken, sing with joy that no, indeed, you are God favored. If John, Zechariah, and Mary taught me anything, it's that we are to witness to God's faithfulness. If John could do it in the womb, and Zechariah could do it while mute, and Mary could do it in the midst of society's scorn, then I can too. That's why I'm here, to bear witness to God's faithfulness. And that's why you're here too, to bear witness to God's faithfulness. So let your life proclaim, God is faithful. God makes a way out of no way. God bends all things to God's good purposes. God makes straight the crooked paths. God never forsakes us. God takes from God's abundance and shares until all are filled with good things. God sees to it that the lowly are lifted and the humble are honored. God is born into the world in a forgotten corner and to an unwed mother. And God turns even death into life, because indeed, God is faithful. Thanks be to God. Amen.